Welcome everybody once again. We've been going down a beautiful road of reopening up wells and trusting the Lord so that the wells may flow in our lives again. And so I've done a summary on that the whole time. Each week I know there's new people. Some people might have heard some of it, but I just want to make sure that we build a wineskin, that there's an understanding of what we're doing. Because when God speaks a word and He prophesies to us corporately, it's one thing to hear it and think, yes, wow, it's amazing. God gave a word. In fact, He gave on that day a public tongue and a great interpretation. But it's another thing to steward that and actually to partner with God. And so in your personal life, you need to do that. But as a corporate body, as a gathering of the saints, as a church, we also need to say, what are the things that the Lord has been saying to us? And are we stewarding it well? So we can be all spiritual, but sometimes lack the understanding from the Word of God, and then things fall to the ground. So we want to be a people of spirit and truth. So God downloads something. He says, this is my wish. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm giving you guys. And then we learn to look through Scripture. And we will never figure out everything. Who's ever tried to figure out everything of God in a season? It's kind of impossible. But we come with eager, humble hearts. Say, Lord, teach us from Scripture. How do we understand this? So that's what we've been doing. Because what I would love to see is each and everyone in our church community living full of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to see that? The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. People that are really life-giving sources to other people. Have you ever been in a situation where you are a life-giving source? Yes, it's beautiful. But it's not a call for us to every couple of months, or when you hit a high, then you're a spiritual force to be reckoned with. No, we need to be living wells for God wherever we go. Not always that easy. That's why we're doing what we're doing. So a quick summary is that the Lord has given us this word. He's reopening and unblocking wells. The second thing is He's doing the work, but we partner because it's His grace. And then we looked at the Old Testament. Today we're going to look at one or two things again. And I'll conclude my side of the story when it comes to the world, because I believe we've unpacked a lot and there's more than enough for us to deal with if you take it home, if you do something with it. I think it's like with anything in life, if the Lord graces you with something, you become a steward. And so even in the last 4 weeks or the 4 weeks that we've been dealing with it, it is dependent upon what you do with it by the grace of God to see that in your life. So the corner scripture, that's the only one I want to read as we summarize again, is John 4:14. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. Ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. Water is life. Susan, did you guys have enough water in the Fish River Canyon? Barely. So was it a tense exercise to know if you're going to have enough water to keep you guys alive? Very tense. Cool. Susan's in our small group. She just did the Fish River Canyon up in Namibia, and it's very dry there, and there's not water spots. So they had to carry, if I remember correctly, all their water. Yeah. Yeah, for four persons. And so it is quite, I think you might understand this message even more than those of us that can easily buy or open up the tap. By grace, but it is a life substance that we all need, and especially spiritually. So we looked at two things every week. Firstly, drink of Jesus. Look to your neighbor quickly and say, drink of Jesus. Second thing, we said, do not sin against the Holy Spirit. The second week, we said, the first thing is we need to be a people of praise and thanksgiving. Who finds that easier? I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. Who's maybe sensitive to be in that space of being praiseworthy, of giving thanks to God and full of praise more and more? The more I read Scripture, I see it, especially in the Psalms, it's all over. The third thing, the second week we did a second leg there, was to say that we need to be a people of no pride. So if we want to partner with the Lord, that life and the life of the Holy Spirit needs to flow from our lives, we need to be careful for pride. So it's something that the Lord will help us with. And then last week, I looked at holiness and the tongue. So it sounds quite intense because it is. But holiness is that we have this Holy Spirit in us, but it is set apart, consecrated, purified, dedicated, not for my use, but for the kingdom and for the King. It's God's. It belongs to Him. It's a blessing to carry it, and it helps me. It sanctifies me. It brings Christ out of me and in my life and in ministry and definitely, hopefully, in my family. But ultimately, it is set apart for holy things. In other words, the things of God. So we're not allowed to misuse, especially as charismatics, misuse the things of the Spirit for our own gain. And we need to be careful. So there's lots said about that. Go and have a look or listen at least at the message. And last week we said also we need to be careful of the tongue, because if we say we want unblocked wells and purified wells, what is the thing that actually can block up and make a stench of your well? The things you say. Christ said in Matthew 15, it's not what goes into you, that actually defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth is actually out of your heart, and that is the thing that, funny enough, ironically enough, brings a stench and a blocking to your well. So we need to be so careful in the fear of the Lord. Am I saying don't say anything? No, I'm just saying be careful of what we say. Because you might think you're saying something that is changing something, but if it's an ill word, if it's not of God, if it's not of His heart, if it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're actually speaking a curse upon your own well. And you get all blocked up. Go listen to the message. I really enjoyed it. I'm so convicted. It's not always easy, especially if you don't believe in the decision the ref just made. You believe the guy was definitely not supporting his own body weight when he went for that ball and got the steal and the penalty. Then you say things that you can defile your well with. Amen. Are we on the same page? So I'm ending off my side of the story when it comes to the wells by saying this. We started off with Jesus. I will always want to preach this. We're going to end off with a focus on Jesus. We love prophecy. We love when the Lord speaks. We love to break it open. We love to have a couple of elements that teaches us how to do it. But I want my eyes on Jesus. When I had a day like today, I realized I need, and all I need is Jesus. What me and my family need is Jesus. I know it's a cheesy thing to say maybe in the way I say it, but I just realized that I'm wrecked and I'm a total mess without Jesus. So I want to end off my side of the story when it comes to the wells by just looking at Jesus. So we're going to look at 2-3 scriptures in the Old Testament where it not refers to the natural wells. We've covered that. But it actually speaks prophetically of the wells that we have at the moment. You know, now the well is the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. The one who cries, Abba, Father. But we need to ensure that the flow of the Spirit's life in all of my life is visible. Not only when we worship together or get together for small group. So we're quickly going to look at these testimonies or prophecies in the Old Testament, because I believe they all point to one person. And we need to always look for Jesus when we read Scripture, I believe. So let's quickly look at the Old Testament, because I am looking for Jesus in that. Isaiah 12:3 says the following, "Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." Therefore you will joyously draw waters from the springs of salvation. What are the springs of salvation? Maybe before you answer that, it's not on there, but the Hebrew here for salvation is to be saved. We know that. Deliverance, health, and welfare. Who wants all of that? To be saved, delivered, health, and welfare. That sounds good. Brings us back. That's the definition in Hebrew for salvation. What is the wells of salvation? Come on, it's not a difficult question. Yes. What is it, guys? Jesus, yes. So in Isaiah already, it refers to us to these springs or wells of salvation. And Isaiah, in fact, I went to go look it up. This is about 2,700 to 2,800 years ago. A prophecy written by a man of God. Not for that time, because not everybody carried that. But here we sit, lavishly, graciously, and we're that people. We're that people. When we worship here, when we seek the Lord together, when you sense, hey, life is returning to you, you're starting to see things again, faith is returning to you in this afternoon, then you realize, what, I've been sitting there, the springs of salvation. Who's ever had like this moment where you remember I'm saved? Who's ever wondered about, am I saved? Yes, we all also have that moment, yes. But sometimes I just realize, I'm born again. I'm saved. My name is written in the book of life. This is a pretty big deal. And then I thank the Lord for the wells of salvation, because those are so important. And even almost 3,000 years ago, it was prophesied that we may have it in this time through Christ. Not only that, in Isaiah 40:19, it affirms that. And by the way, there's a number of them. I don't have time for it. They will not hunger or thirst. Again, a promise that we have heard echoed in the New Testament. Nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. What is that? It's called life. For us today, it's called life. We've got sunblock. We've got hats. And if you're nice and grand, you've got a nice K-way hat. And whatever. Come on, work with me. You've got nice stuff. So we're not too bothered about the heat, right? Or the scorching heat and the dryness. But yet we end up there spiritually so easily. Who's ever been scorched by the heat spiritually? Who's ever been in a bit of a dry place with the Lord? It's called this place. For he who has compassion on them, read there, he who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. Who will lead you to springs of water when you're thirsty? This good gracious God, your Father. We just said to each other, let's return to childlikeness. Let's not try to figure out our own water. Let's not try to figure out our own thirst. Run to your dad. As Milan hunger of dorses, where does he go? Either the fridge or mom. But usually mom. And our kids, it's supernatural, but they're very hungry on Sundays. They're really very hungry. And so it's a couple of meals before we get to church, and then there's a snack needed. But they come to us. Why don't we just go to the one who can actually help us with the thirst? Just as much as Nadia can help Milan, how much more can God help me when I'm thirsty? But yet, unfortunately, even in the Old Testament, you can go to the next slide. Thanks, John. We get warned. I put there, yet. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the what? The fountain of living waters. Who's the fountain of living waters? God is the source. And through His Son Christ, we are given that. But He says, ah, man, they're thirsty and they're hungry, but guess what? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew, that is like make, to make for themselves cisterns, that is like a Stanley Cup, but not a cool one. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. It's quite ironic. I can actually play with the Stanley Cup thingy. Because just imagine you have a Stanley Cup and think that that water will sustain you for life. I'm not knocking you. If you've got a Stanley Cup, please do forgive me. I please hope that you do come back again. But here's the thing is that God says, hey, they forsake me, the real living waters, the one that can fulfill their thirst, but yet they run to other stuff. What is your other stuff? Do you have other stuff or it's just me? How bold or how brutally honest should I be, Demi? I really wanted to go to the rugby. Really. I don't have the money. I actually looked at prices. You can ask my beer man. I actually looked at stuff and I really desperately wanted to go to the rugby yesterday. And I was like, I would love a new jersey and I would love to go to the rugby. Judge away, guys. But I also realized, and even though, nice cup, Paul. even in doing that, and it was an amazing game, and it would have been a great experience. Who of you guys watched the World Cup? That was amazing, right? How long did that last you in fulfillment? Hours? Maybe days? Now, I'm using rugby analogies, and please don't stone me. You've got other stuff. Believe you me, you've got your examples. But there are things, and last night's game was good. I would have loved a selfie with Siya Kolisi. Wouldn't have mind getting Eben's tray. I wouldn't mind that. I'm human. But today, that'll be forgotten. Because I believe, and I don't knock people going to the rugby, so you hear my heart. We have these broken sisters that don't hold water, and yet we run after them. It can be a handbag or a pair of shoes. It can be a job. It can be that one friend or that cool circle you want to be part of. Want to be part of that clique or whatever it is. If you create any fountain, any broken system that don't hold the water of the Spirit, we're going to be left wanting. And he said, oh man, he warns us 3,000 years ago, more than almost 3,000. He warns us, hey, they forsake the real waters, the real life. And then they run after other stuff, money, fame, whatever it is for you, I don't know. But he just say, hey, come back to me. I'm that safe space. By the way, I enjoyed the rugby and I didn't go and it's all good. I'm still fine. Because I'm actually preparing and I'm reading through this. In the same time, I'm checking the prices and I'm checking for tickets. And I just love how the Lord convicts me. And he's like, drink of me. Drink of me. Yes, enjoy the stuff in life. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Enjoy the stuff that the Lord grants you. He does. But be careful to look to those things to fulfill. Because it can't. Because it can't. And so that was just so beautiful how the Lord, because here's another kicker. Isaiah 55:1. Come everyone who thirsts. That's us. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Ah, I love the kingdom economy. I love this prophetic picture because he's saying, hey, guess what? You run. You want to pay stuff. You want to pay a lot of money for this, that, and the other. And then guess what? You're not fulfilled and you're going to pay again and pay again. But he says, hey, don't bring your money. Come to me. Come and eat. Come and buy for you. What is that? It's faith. It is trust. It is a way of grace that is kingdom and not of the world. And we're like, oh, but, but. We put down our Stanley Cups and we take off our Springbok jerseys and we come to him, the real author and giver of life. And we say, here we are. I don't have anything to give, but I have my faith. I want to buy that choice food. I want to buy the bread of life. I want to buy that water. I want to buy that water. I want to drink of that because I'm a thirsty, thirsty soul. So he warns us and he says, come and buy it without money. Why do you spend your money on things that is not bread and your labor for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. So he's setting us up even in the Old Testament for what we're dealing with now. He's saying, I know your ways, guys. Come on. I know the answer. Enjoy those things, but please don't run after them as if they will satisfy you. So let's quickly hop into the New Testament where it gets echoed what we've been saying for 3 weeks. John 7:37 says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So it's like he was standing before me yesterday as I was thinking, oh man, I want, oh, 2 days ago and yesterday morning, I want to go to the rugby. He was just standing before me again, just saying, lover of my soul, just saying, come to me. Come and drink. Come and drink of me. The waters that can satisfy. And so this just brings all the things we run after into perspective. Am I saying let's just chill at home and do nothing? Am I saying that? No. Pursue the things that God has placed in your heart. But have them in the right priority. Have those friendships. Have those goals. Have those things that you work for and work with and aspire to. Have them subject to the King of Kings. Have those other cisterns subject to the one source that can satisfy and satisfy alone. And we know this to be the truth. We need to remind our hearts. Because Jesus is that one that is free. Is he free? He's free, but he costs you everything, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful tension. Here's my life. I receive all of your life for free. And he's like, come and die with me. And it's beautiful. It's weird, but it's beautiful. But we have to say it. Because once you've died, guess what? You find your life again. So it's trying to keep your life, you lose it. You lose your life for his sake, you get to keep it. Again, kingdom's weird. Come, buy without money. Come, lose so you can find. Lose so you can win. You're like, Jesus, help me. But luckily we have the Holy Spirit to interpret and help us. Because guess what? We're weirdos in this world. Anybody a weirdo? Anybody likes to be a weirdo? Anybody who wants to be as weird as I am? I'm just joking. Any swabber, Molly. Amen. I love that. Because today, as I just culminate what I believe the Lord is saying to us, and as we steward and partner with the Lord, we bring our eyes through Scripture back to Jesus so that we cannot try to unblock our own wealth. So that we cannot try to have faith and trust to be these living waters, gushing rivers of living waters by ourselves again. We just remind ourselves with this very important fact. It is Jesus. It is faith in Christ, relationship with Christ and His work in me that produces life. Because He's both source, and you'll see shortly, He's also the one that helps me to be the free-flowing river. So I called the next one the great unblocking and opening. I shared that briefly at Men's Monday in prayer as it came to me. So what I wrote here, what was the great unblocking and reopening upon which we can stand and which leads to all of life? If you should maybe rephrase that in an easier place, why can we have living waters and gushing rivers in us? Why? How is that even possible? The blood? Yes. What is the blood? What does it represent? It cleanses, yes, but it represents, it comes from what? It comes from Christ. Doing what? Blood transfusion? Shedding blood? Yes. Giving? Dying? And so, in very short, and you'll see just from Scripture now, I believe it's because of an empty grave. It's because of the death and resurrection of Jesus that we today have living waters in us. All of life, let me put it this way, there was no life. Sin and death came into this world, and there was no living waters anymore for us to be found. And so one had to come that is spotless, without blemish and perfect, and He, so to speak, needed to come open the tap again. Who is the one that paid the bill for eternal life for us? Who is the one that paid the ultimate price for us to have living waters of life? Jesus, yes. So what well is the first and foremost source for our open wells? Jesus, yes. So He had to lay down His life. He needed to rise from the dead, and through that life was gushed into us, and through that we could be the guys and girls that have the waters of life. If I should speak to the gentleman, maybe it's like, you know, what's the tap that you have outside at the road that they come and check the bull? It's called, what is it? Stopcock. What's it? What is the Quran, Albert? Stopcock. So, if that thing is closed, what happens to all the taps and toilets and everything in the house? There's no water. So, very simply, Jesus became that one big tap, and He says, I'll pay the price, and I'll come and open this. And through that, every single tap and every single thing in the house receives the water. And likewise, we shouldn't forget, when we look at our own wells again, the unblocking of our own wells, that the one who paid for it all is Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next slide as we quickly look at Scripture, just as the Lord reveals that through His Scripture to us. John 16:5 says, but now I'm going to Him. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. For now I'm going away to Him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your hearts. So here's Him, the one who has all life. He's carrying the water. He's got living waters with Him. And He's saying to His disciples, I'm going away. What would your reaction be? There goes my water. That was darn nice. It was good to have the water here, like bottomless. And that, now He's going. But yet He says the following, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I go away. That's one thing. But here He says it. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, the living waters, the fountains of living waters will not come to you. So He knew that unless He goes and lay down His life, unless He goes and pays that price, we cannot be carriers of living waters today. So the biggest unblocking came when He destroyed death and sin. When He laid down His life, He went down to Hades, He fetched the keys of authority again and said, hey guys, boom. Life can flow through your lives. What a perfect price. And it just, again, maybe brings perspective when we talk about the wells in us. Thinking that I didn't pay for it. What a grace to have. But I need to steward it well, and I need to be reminded, where does it come from? And so, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter will not come to you. And so the unblocking happens. Matthew 28, we know by now, he's resurrected. They run into the cave or into the place where he was buried, and they said, the grave is empty. In other words, the tap has been opened. And the grace is now there that the Lord will give us all his living waters. What I saw, you can go to the slide, there's one that says Moses with an asterisk next to it. Thank you so much. As I ran this morning, I was just pondering this idea because it wasn't part of the sermon. I was just thinking of Moses and again, a couple of stories in the Old Testament. Now, what happened to Moses? Many times he had issues with the Israelites. Do you know that? You know who Moses is and you know the Israelites. Okay, you know their journey? Right, I can't go to all of that now. So twice, there's a place where out of nothing, God gives them water. Do you know that? So the first one is in Exodus 17:6. He says, I will stand there before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and the water will come out of it and the people will drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders. So he says, take that staff of yours and knock this rock and boom, water. Sounds cool. Same happened in the Red Sea. Water open, now water come. Who would like that? Kind of cool. So he hits the rock, boom, water comes. And now a second time he comes around in Numbers. It's a while later and God again speaks to him because guess what? The people have been moaning. So when people moan, you go to God. Take the staff and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to the rock. You notice that? Speak to the rock before their eyes and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock may drink. So Moses goes to the rock and guess what he does? He doesn't speak to the rock. He goes and he strikes the rock again. What happens then? What does God say? No, he didn't say that. He didn't have a buzzer, I think. What does he say? He says, graciously still gives the people water. But now he says, Moses, you will not enter the promised land. Whoa. Whoa. Yara, that's intense. But it's a beautiful picture. What is the law? The law at first is where we try to do the right thing and where we try to do it in the flesh. And that's the place where the rock gets hit and it gushes out water. But then God says, it gives us a picture again of the fountains to come. He says the second time around. I don't have my breath, but I'm thinking of this stuff. I was in tears because it gets better. But the second time, God is giving a picture of the new covenant, of grace. He says, don't heat it. Don't try to do it in the flesh now, guys. Speak. Speak by faith. And unfortunately, Moses, in his typical fleshiness, like all of us can sometimes fall into, goes and he uses the old way. He uses the way of the flesh again, the carnal way, and he hits the rock and he misses out on the promised land. Because God said, no, the second time around, the new covenant, the new testament, when Jesus has come, when Jesus paid the price, now it's by faith and we speak. We don't do it by flesh. Here's the thing that made me cry this morning. You realize that for our waters, well, who's the rock? Who's the rock? Jesus. Because of the law, God the Father hit the rock. He hit his own son. He punished his own son. So that the law may be fulfilled. So that he need not hit me. So today I can bear waters of life. Because he was hit by Father God. And when I just saw that this morning, I was just in tears. I was like, he got a hiding. And today I've got living waters. What a beautiful picture of grace. He took it out on the rock. But today, in the dispensation of grace, we don't do it in the flesh anymore. We don't have to hit, nor be hit, if we follow him. So that we can be life sources of water. And I want to just bring that all back to Christ, saying that he took it upon himself so that we may have open wells. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made the one who did not know sin to be a sin offering for us. Do you realize that? They're talking about, well, he was a sin offering for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I can have wells or waters of living waters gushing, flowing from me because God had taken it out upon the rock Jesus. And today I may receive it by faith in the new covenant. And I can just carry this water. I can share it with other people. I can enjoy that. I can be bestowed upon me that grace and share it with other people because of him. So Jesus not only gave us the well, but now here's the second thing, and that we want to just land it with, is that when we talk about blockages, what was it? It was dead animals in the Old Testament that threw into the enemy's wells. It was rocks and sand. Not only did Jesus create the wells for us of the Spirit, but is there any rock, any dead flesh, or any sand that can end up in your well that Jesus did not die for? Is there anything? Maybe it's the rock of rejection. Maybe it's the dead stench of shame. Maybe it's the dead flesh of religious dead works. Maybe it's just the sand of confusion and busyness in the times we're at. Maybe it's the rock of Mammon that ended up in your well. My question is very simply, as we land and focus on Jesus, is there any of the debris of the enemy that ends up in our wells that Jesus did not die for? Then we have no excuse and we can just say, Jesus, thank you that you will continue to do what you've done. Will you take up the elements with me? Petri, do you mind? Romans 8:11 says the following, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. How amazing is that? And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's where he opened up the tap for us, lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. There's no blockage that can stop Jesus. Huh? How cool is that? There's no blockage. There's no blockage that can stop Jesus. The only thing that can stop the blockage, only thing that can allow the blockage to stop Jesus is what? My will. It's just my will. It's the only thing that stands between me and the Lord doing what he does and what he's forever done. It's just my will. So let's make this personal. You've got the elements. If there's anything in your heart you need to repent for, now's a good time. Scripture says, let's not take it in an unworthy manner. And then you remind the Lord that he broke so that whatever ended up stealing a life in your life will be broken. And every single thing can be nailed to the cross. And then again, the fullness, as we speak by faith, the fullness of the flow can be restored to our lives and to our community. Let's take communion together. Thank you, Lord, that the Spirit that raised you from the grave lives inside of us. Thank you, Christ, that we can ask that your Holy Spirit, because of your sacrifice, your price, and that you were first struck down, that your Holy Spirit will continue to blow your living waters, to gush your living waters through our lives and blow out whatever the enemy stuck in there, because you paid for it. You paid for every single thing, albeit sand, rocks, dead animals, whatever it is, you Christ paid for it. And we receive that today. And we proclaim that freedom over us as living sacrifices. We proclaim that over us and our families as living wells, sons and daughters who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And we declare simply, please have your way. Here we are, please have your way. And restore whatever the enemy has stolen. And thank you that you continue to do this unblocking and reopening so that we will see life around us wherever we go. That there will be life. That there will be biblical, godly life in all areas and every place that we touch and where our lives go. In Jesus' name. We thank you for that. And we submit our wills to you and we just say, have your way. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.